I want you to turn in your Bible, and this is the greatest way to find it, is go to Matthew, and then hang a left about three books to Nahum. And I want you to turn to the second chapter of that book, Nahum, N-A-H-U-M, or I'm okay with you going to the table of contents to find that book. It's not a book that we go to a lot. Now, as you turn there or find it, chapter 2, last week we talked about weeds in the crop, and a weed is designed to destroy your seed. It's designed to steal the word of God, because the word, the Bible says, is seed. That's why I've been preaching seed for 30 plus years. Because everything is a seed, good or bad. How you treat someone is a seed. And I want to sow good seeds, obviously. But a lot of times in the ground, there's some weeds. And if you don't tend to the weeds, they're designed to choke out good seed. So, again, a mandate, and God a lot of times will go through seasons on how God is dealing with me on, you know, how to pastor this church. I don't try to pastor other churches, even though I'm a pastor of lots of pastors, and I understand that. It just, I didn't ask for it, but then pastors from all over the country started calling me. And then we do a huge ministers conference in February in San Antonio, and hundreds come, cowboy preachers or just preachers, come, and they get to receive the word of God, and we bring in ministers from all over the country. We got Tim Stewen coming from South Dakota, Rapid City, huge church there, but he's a bull rider. We've got Ty Jones is a rancher in New Mexico, but has a huge cowboy church in Amarillo, Texas. Then we have Ty Bean is an amazing minister in Hobbs, New Mexico. And I mean, huge cowboy church. But just amazing. And then we bring in a lot of other ministers, and I get to minister, etc. But I'm in charge of it, and so I understand my call. And I, you know, the other ministers, we understand the call of how we're to lead this group of people, of sheep, you know, servants of the Lord, sons and daughters of God. And this is one of the mandates that I believe I'm supposed to be on for a season, and that's just to help people know how to handle the attacks of the enemy in the last of the last days. Because, yes, the enemy is ruining marriages like we've never seen. Now, maybe that spirit's been around years and years and years, but with social media, we just see it a lot more. And we see the breakups, and we see the venting on Facebook. I don't do that, and I wouldn't advise you to do that. We don't need to know your stuff. We don't need to know how mad you are at that guy that cut you off, you know, down the road. But I understand some people just feel a need to vent. But we need to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. We need to get some understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus, so that when you're going through something and something's bothering you, or you need deliverance from whatever it is, you need victory because the enemy's attacking, then these messages are designed for us to learn how to live in God's kingdom, His ways of doing things, His righteousness, so that again we can be overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, the word of my testimony, of our testimony. There was a cowboy we were Uvalde, they had qualifiers for San Antonio's rodeo. San Antonio rodeo is huge. I think each event, besides the steer roping, they had 160,000 per event. In the steer roping, they just added it back, but they still give us 100 grand. I was the cattle producer, so I took cattle, and then the top 50 in the world, and thank God I was in the top 50, I got to rope this last weekend. There's one cowboy that's been struggling. Now, he's made the national finals. He is an amazing timed event cowboy. Matter of fact, I won't say his name, but he has won the timed event championship at Oklahoma. And that's where they have to head and heel and calf rope and bulldog and steer rope. And it's an amazing event. You win 50, or you win 100 grand if you win that thing now, I believe. It's a lot of money. And I saw him sitting there, and I knew he'd been going through horses and having little struggles. And I don't know why. I just walked up to him and I said, "Hey, I just want to tell you something. The Bible calls you an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, okay? You're a winner no matter what." Well, his old eyes just, that's what he needed. But that's what we all need in these last days, because the enemy, again, is trying to steal. This is John 10:10, right? Kill and destroy. And if you allow him to do that, then he has the victory and you don't. But if you find out who you are in Christ, and you know that you actually, because of Jesus, not without him, then you'll have the victory no matter what you go through, praise the Lord. So I found this scripture as I was seeking the Lord about this particular message this morning. And I went to Nahum chapter 2 and verse 1, and this is what it says. "He who scatters has come up before your face. He says, man the fort, watch the road, strengthen your flanks and fortify your power mightily." Well, I stopped and I began to study that word scatter. And I'm telling you, it's a tactic of the enemy in these last days, because the devil is trying to scatter you. That word scattered, you know what it literally means? Too much to do. Too much on your mind. Too many distractions. Pulled in too many directions. It's a Hebrew word right here. Translated, drawn out, stretched out. No apparent regular order in your life. To disperse, to dissipate. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. When I was studying it, I found out that the Romans scattered the Jews. I believe that was in about AD 70. Scattered them. And there was a reason that he scattered the Jews among all the nations. Why? Why would the Romans do that to God's people? Well, I found out studying it that it was to cause them then to migrate away from God's dwelling place. He didn't want them in that protection, you see. He wanted them far away from where God had actually called them. And yet, I'm seeing that in the lives of people today. They're being scattered. I mean, they're bogged down in a lot of things, and always it comes in the mind, because that's where the battle is. If you start meditating on something that's negative and bad in your life, then it'll become you. That's why Joshua says, no, don't do that. Meditate on the word day and night. Praise the Lord. Say amen to that, y'all. Because we need to learn that if the enemy's trying to scatter, then we need to know what to do. And think about just a few things. How about a football team? I saw where Liberty Hill lost a very tough, close game in the playoffs. I also saw where lampasses won, and I've got a friends that have kids at lampasses and burn it, you know. And but I noticed lampasses won, Liberty Hill didn't. And but think about an offensive line. You realize that a lot of times they're taught to touch the foot of the other lineman. Why? Because they need to be close. If they're scattered, it's real easy for someone to get through to make a tackle on the quarterback, possibly, to stop the momentum of the drive. And so a lineman, a good offensive lineman, gets close. That way, they have a lot more strength. How about a military? I mean, a military, they're not scattered all over the place. And here in Nahum, chapter 2, verse 1, really helps all of us get some understanding of how we're supposed to respond to the attacks in the last days. And so I want to briefly deliver about four things that you see here. Matter of fact, the very first one says what? Man the fort. Because see, these are things that we need to do for protection. I mean, I was so thrilled. Rusty, I can't tell you how thrilled I was this weekend in Uvalde when I had the cattle. And steer roping is when you have to lay them down. They call it tripping. And you lay them down so you can tie them. It's a very first. Is it hot in here? It's very first. I saw them fanning back in the back. So I don't want no sweating going on in here. But praise God, it's hot in the spirit. Amen. Come on, y'all. I mean, we need to get fired up. Well, Rusty, you got to understand, when you supply the cattle, and steer roping is the very first, one of the first events in rodeo, that and saddle bronc riding. It's those two events are grandfathered in to professional rodeo. They can never be removed. Now, a rodeo doesn't have to have them. I mean, well, it has to have saddle bronc, but it doesn't have to have steer roping. And, you know, when you're laying something down in the pasture because you got to doctor them, then, you know, that's the reason the event started. And I'm the steer man. Those steers cost $1,300 each at the border right now. The most expensive they've ever been. And so I'm buying them. I have about 100 and probably 60 at my house. Eating. So when you get to a roping, you want them to not get injured, right? Because that's going to cost quite a bit of money if something happens and they get injured. And so before the event, I said, Father, I'm your kid. I'm your favorite. Now you're supposed to say me too. I said, but I need protection over these steers. I plead the blood of Jesus over these steers. I only loosened three horns. They didn't have to carry any out to the glory of the Lord. I mean, I want to start doing a Pentecostal run right now. Should I? I'm not going to. It just gets too hot. I've never done one, by golly. Well, maybe I have. I can't remember. But listen, there's something about believing the Word of God and who you are in Christ Jesus. And again, the military, they know how to protect, right? So I was thinking about, you know, this first one, man the fort, number one. And do you realize that the army posts people to just man a fort? You got to man the thing. I think that's something that we've not done a lot. I mean, when we're getting attacked, and where does the attack usually come from? From behind. They're trying to sneak. That's why that offensive line is close, because they don't want anybody through. Now, they may try to get around, but they're not going to get through if they're a strong, fortified line. They're usually the biggest people, right? It's so that the enemy can't get through. So there's something about manning the fort. And a lot of times, it's even in church. There's only a few of us that serve. You know, I did a service not long ago about our gift, our giftings, and how some are leaders and some just, they don't want to be up front. And some are givers, and we went through. And through the whole church, I didn't see hardly anyone left that didn't have some gifting. I mean, they were just called to do something. Well, a lot of times we don't man the fort. And we need to man the fort. And manning the fort is the guys and the girls that come early to get this place ready for all of us. They straighten up the chairs, man. A lot of times manning the fort is a necessary thing, but and it might be a little boring. But someone's got to man the fort. That's why I want people praying, intercessory prayer before this service. Why? Because the enemy is constantly wanting to destroy good Bible-believing churches. He's wanting to destroy good Bible-believing men and women of God. He's wanting to cause distractions and you to be scattered so that he can come in, steal, kill, and destroy. So there's something about manning the fort. We need ushers right now. I mean, thank God, howdy. Howdy, just he's an associate. He's not an usher. He's a pastor. But you got to do what you got to do, right? And we need people to, and it doesn't have to be just men. We just need people to man the fort. Because there's something about manning the fort. I need you. I need young people. Man the fort, brother. I want you to pray about being an usher. Because we need youngins going, man, you look good. Man, welcome, brother. You know, because, I mean, now we don't have those ushers in here, but there's some that just have such a heart, but it takes them 40 years to get to somewhere they're sold. Follow me with the camera. Welcome, brother. I mean, you already changed zip codes before he got there. Now, I'm not saying I want everybody to serve, but listen, it's time that we man the fort. Because, man, there's an enemy trying to destroy this church. There's an enemy trying to destroy every church. There's an enemy trying to destroy you and I as believers in Jesus Christ to not have faith in our God, to do things like the world. And I'm here to tell you, we're not going to allow that to happen in this church, because we're going to have victory type people. We're going to not have just the victims. We're going to have people that's the head and not the tail, praise God. We're going to have people fired up about their God so that they can get through the fiery furnace without fear. Now, manning the fort is an important thing, but look at the very next one. Watch the road. Now, maybe you don't know it, but, and I'm not afraid to say this. I'm not afraid of no enemy. But we have people that walk around this church watching. They're making sure these doors are locked from the outside. There's an enemy, y'all. There's a devil that's trying to destroy. And so, we have ushers that they just patrol and they watch. Well, listen to me. That's a good strategy in your life if you watch the road. Because you can see when an enemy comes. And how many of you know, an enemy doesn't want to come into this church how many people are packing. Now, if you're packing and I don't know about it, hold your peace, because I don't want everybody shot. I don't want you just pulling out something if something ever happened, which, you know, we're seeing a lot of things happen in churches nowadays. Why? Because they're trying to stop the move of God. When we're watching, though, you're watching for that enemy. That's a strategic thing. It's a protective thing to watch the road. And a good army is watching. Because you don't want the surprise attacks. And it seems like we're getting a lot of surprise attacks. You know, people finding out something, you know, that's happened to them, you know, and they're having to go through it, and it just happened. They're just finding out. And I mean, it's like devastating. And then, of course, you start seeing the reasons things are happening because it comes more clear. But really, if we're watching that road and we're seeking God and we're asking God, James chapter 1, ask God for wisdom and he'll give it to you liberally, upbraideth not, right? Well, we need wisdom. Watching the road a lot of times is that wisdom, praise the Lord, that we're asking God for. I want to turn, and if you want to, hold your place in Nahum chapter 2. But I want to turn to the left to Jeremiah. And I want to read you something. Jeremiah. And go to chapter 51. Jeremiah and 51. Because this will help us when we're watching the road. And watching the road, as it says in Nahum, all that is just being prepared. We're always prepared. I'm not talking about, listen to me, pay attention here. I'm not talking about that we're scaredy cats and always thinking that we're getting attacked. You know, we give the devil a lot of credit when he doesn't need it. But there's something about being prepared, you see. I'm not saying that we should expect negative things all the time. Matter of fact, I'm the opposite. We already expect the blessing. We already expect the goodness. We already expect God's protection. We don't have to beg God for it. He's already given it to us. But we still have to be prepared for some attacks because we're all going to go through trials and tribulations. Look at Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 12. Set up the standard on the walls of Babylon, make the guard strong, set up, what does it say here? The watchman. Remember, we're watching the road. Set up the watchman. Prepare the ambushes. For the Lord has both devised and done what he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon. What God's trying to say here is there's something about being prepared and watching. Having a spirit of when you're around, and I teach my daughter this. She's 22 years old, and I tell her, "Hey, you watch your surroundings. There's the enemy trying to, you know, there's bad things. There's a devil out there. Understand that you're covered by the blood of the Lamb. You are covered with God's protection, but you have to pray and ask angels to minister to you, to protect you in Jesus' name." So that's what we do when we travel, right? Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over this truck, over the trailer, over the horses, over all of us. I thank you, Lord, for traveling mercies. I call angels to go before us and clear the way in Jesus' name, right? That's preparation. That's watching a road. That's being a watchman. Having an understanding of not being negative, but just understanding, you're not going to destroy me, devil. I think too many times is we're not ready, and then the enemy attacks, and we don't know what to do. Well, you've got the word of God, though. Now look at, now flip back to Nahum chapter 2, and look at the third one, and we're just doing four. The third one is what? Strengthen your flanks. Now, I love this scripture. Back to your left to Isaiah chapter 58. And that's an easy book to find. But I want you to turn there and look at Isaiah chapter 50, 58. Now, I love, and I've quoted it so many times, Isaiah 54:17, that says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn." This is the heritage. This is your heritage. It's the heritage of the saints of the Lord. But when we're talking about strengthening the flanks, again, a good army doesn't get flanked, doesn't allow the army. I mean, even a good football team, they're going to stop something coming on the inside, but they always try to flank you and get behind you. Because usually we're looking forward, right? I mean, that's what the word says. You know, we're not to look at the things that are behind. We're supposed to press forward to the mark of the high calling. Well, there's something about strengthening your flanks. Well, here's how you do it. Isaiah 58:8. "Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily." Say amen to that. We got now faith. Hebrews. Now faith. Not just now, comma, faith. We have now faith. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. We can live in now faith. We can see things now. Obviously, yeah, there's a process sometimes of faith coming to pass. I mean, we sometimes have to get the enemy out. We have to wait on God's timing or whatever. But there's also now faith. And I don't know about y'all, but I like speedily healing. Say amen to that. If you're going through something, then you need to praise God that God, by His stripes, the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. And you don't have to wait till you go to heaven because healing's there. No, you can have healing right here. You don't need healing in heaven. It's already there. But we need it right here. That's why by Jesus' stripes we're healed. That's why the book of John says, or the book of Mark even, says lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. There's something about strengthening up your flanks. And again, here's how you do it. "And your righteousness," what is that? Doing what's right. "Your righteousness shall go before you." So the people that do right, it goes before them. And then look what it says at the end. "And the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard." That's when they're trying to flank you. The enemy's trying to get behind you to attack you. The way you operate right now, the way that you're righteous, you were made righteous when you gave your life to Jesus. You may have done some things not righteous, but that's not who you truly are. Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy when we've done things wrong. But you need to figure out who you are in Christ Jesus and strengthen up your flank, praise God. Because the enemy's trying to get behind you, but not a problem with God, because your righteousness is going to go before you and God's glory is going to protect your rear guard. He's going to be that. And we need that today. But that's part of the strategic ways of being protected, is we strengthen our flanks. Now look at number 4 and we'll close. Back to Nahum, page 1274. "Fortify your power mightily." Let me say that again. Write that down. "Fortify your power mightily." You know what that just means? I don't have to spend a lot of time on this one, to be real honest. You need to find out who you are in Christ. Remember when I've told you the story of my grandma, mama, my dad's mom? "Now, if you have to talk to the devil, don't talk out loud." And I said, "Why, mama? I'm like 7 or 8. "Why?" She said, "Because he might hear you." Which meant, at that particular time, she was more afraid of the devil than he was afraid of us. Are all of you saved? Is everybody born again? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Then the power lives on the inside of you. Remember, we've talked about it over and over and over. The Greek word of power is dunamis. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of all of us believers in Jesus. Not Superman power, not Batman power. I'm talking about the dunamis power of God that caused us to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. Gives us that power to not be afraid to be a witness. To gladly, gladly, boldly say, my God is for me, who can be against me? Jesus is his anointing. I have the power to use the name of Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, remember, every demon must flee. At the name of Jesus, his name's higher than every name. He's got a name above all names. Cancer has a name, but your Jesus has a name above it. Sickness, disease, anything that is negative, Jesus' name is above it. That's part of the protection, y'all. That's fortifying the power of God that's on the inside of you. That's getting your weapons out and you actually using that shield of faith. That's actually using your garments of protection. That's using the word of God. Faith, praise God. We're all faith people, y'all. I don't know why they get all upset when someone is a faith person. You can't be a believer in Jesus when you can't see him except by faith. We're all faith people because we cannot see in the physical God Almighty. Why? Because he's in heaven. We cannot see Jesus, the Son of God, who now is seated at the right hand of the Father. Why? Because he's there. He's not here anymore. He was only here for a few years. 33 and a half, they say. We can't even see physically the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he's in spirit. But I can feel him. I can be led by him. I can seek his face. But we have to have faith that our God is real, that heaven is real. And I'm convinced that he's real. I'm convinced. You can't try to knock. I've already been convinced that his healing power is true. The word of God is truth and it'll make you free. I've already been. You can't tell me that healing isn't for today. Your mama. I've been through it. I've seen the miracles of God, but I've only seen them to people that believe. Ladies and gentlemen, the enemy may be attacking your life in some way right now, and it may be devastating. But you have your God, and he's for you and not against you. And you've got to fortify that power, and you've got to get the weapons to start working for you. I told a cowboy that was telling me a tragic, tragic ordeal going through his family with his child. And he was broken down. And I was just traveling from Uvalde. And they said they diagnosed his child with a disease that only 20 people have ever known. 20 that had this particular disease. So in his mind, he's thinking, wow, his son may not walk ever. And then they've given him bad reports of, well, and it might, as he gets older, go all the way up to his neck. And he may not be able to function. Then they kind of spit a few positive words. Well, but maybe he might be able to be in a wheelchair and go to college and function. I said, listen to me. And I mean, I was already ticked off. I was devastated that they've just told him about this. And I said, listen to me. I'm going to be the one that's going to stand in the gap. And I'm going to speak the word because that's where the power is. I'm going to be the one that says, no, we are not going to follow the report of a doctor, even though God created a doctor as the final report. I'm going to listen to them, and if it lines up with the Word of God, God created them for a reason, but not the final report. The final report is the great physician. And that's what I told him. I was just speaking the Word. I was trying to get the power of God to move in his life, because it's a devastating thing for him to be going and his wife to be going through something that tragic. And I mean, he was broken and bawling. And I just said, listen to me, the Word of God is true. It's yes and amen. I just began to speak the Word of God, and you know what it did? It started bringing power to him. He stopped crying, and he started getting faith. He started speaking the truth of the Word of God. Yeah, yeah, you know what? My son's going to walk. I said, because God created him in the image of himself, in God's likeness, and God wants him to run and have a normal childhood. So why don't we start speaking that? You know what that does, though? Causes power. It causes a fortification of power, praise God, in their lives to not be defeated. Because that's what the enemy's trying to do, defeat. So whatever you might be going through, your God's greater. Whatever the enemy is trying to bring against you, an attack from behind, attack in the middle, attack from the sides. It's time that you listen to this message and you get prepared that that enemy cannot come in. Again, if God be for you, who dare be against you? You're a winner. You're not a loser. You're the head. You're not the tail. Come on, you can do it. You can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. Come on, it's just going to take someone. And if I'm in the middle of the battle, I need your help. I need your encouragement. I don't need someone bad-mouthing. Well, it was probably because all the bad things you did in your past. That's when you're allowed to say your mama. Get some joy. The joy is what causes strength, y'all. Don't you dare let that devil be the winner, because God created you to fortify that power. The power, the dunamis power of God that causes you to be the winner. And you can do it. You know why? Because God loves you. So get up. Just kind of like that new song says. Get on your feet and raise your hands. And start praising your God. Instead of believing all the lies of the world and all the lies of the devil. Because they cannot win unless you allow them to. You're victorious and you're not the victim, and you're in the blessing of God in Jesus' mighty name. So come on. Come on. Get excited about your God. If not, the attacks are going to get worse. But not in my life. I'm ready. I got the watchman. Matter of fact, I got some brothers and sisters that are helping watch. You know, like when your kids start acting up and they're not around mom and dad and they get whooped by Aunt Bethel. Grandma, I could tell so many stories, but let's not. Well, just one. I don't know how my grandma could do it. Mom's mom, we called her Nonnie. Somehow, she could hear. Like she had the greatest hearing in the world. And could hear us talking bad. She could go get her. And she wasn't a big woman. I mean, she just wasn't. But she could get this switch off a tree. And she could make you like it on your rear. I mean, kids don't get that anymore. But I'm telling you, oh, we need that back. You know, all she was doing is, wake yourself up, boy. Don't you talk that way. Get up. Come on, you can do it. Don't you dare go down that road. See, a good soldier listens to the commander. And the commander is the Lord Jesus. Not some preacher. Not some church. I'm just the messenger. But Jesus. So if you're going through something right now, and I, I'm, I mean this, we'll do it quick. But if you're going through something and no one's going to know what it is but God, and you just need, you need some faith, you need prayer, you need some agreement, stand up right now, just right where you're at. Don't come down here, just stand up. You just need, you need some agreement. You need brothers and sisters to help agree with you, whatever it is. Or if you know somebody going through a tough time and you just need some agreement, you stand up on their behalf and we'll just pray right now. Just get up. Get up. Don't. That's when you stand up, no matter what's going on. It doesn't matter. No one has to know, but God knows. He knows every thought in your head right now, every hair on your head, every sparrow that flies. You know the scripture. Whatever we're going through, it's get through it in Jesus' name. Everybody standing, put your hand over your heart. Because what you're believing for right now has got to get from your head down into your heart so that it can manifest. Amen. And the rest of you, just stretch your hands towards someone around you and let's pray for them. Father, thank you. Thank you that you're a God that is interested in every area of our lives. And the people that are standing, sir, you know what they're going through. You know the pain. You know the emotion. You know the anxiety, the stress, whatever it might be. You know the issue. If it's sickness and disease, you know it. But Father, that's why you sent your son. That's why you were a giver. So Father, we believe, all of us, stretching our hands towards the people who are standing with their hands over their heart. I thank you, Lord, that they have victory in that situation now in Jesus' name. That they cast every bit of the care over on you. And they're not going to try to handle it themselves. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that we confess and we speak victory over the situation, whatever it is. And we give you now the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Say amen, y'all. Amen. All right. Sit down just for a second and repeat this prayer with me. Everybody pray this prayer. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Forgive me of any sin, because this day is my God day, because Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, before I say amen, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, most all of us are born again. Jesus is Lord. And the reason I had you pray that prayer is to learn the prayer to lead others to Jesus that won't come to this church even. But if you're here or watching, and you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, you had never asked out of your mouth Jesus to come into your life and be your Lord. But you did it just now by praying that prayer. If that's you, I'm talking about you didn't know if you're going to go to heaven or hell when you leave this earth. But because you asked Jesus, the Son of God, to come into your life, I'm telling you, you'll bust heaven wide open when you leave this earth. The people that don't, y'all, that don't want to have anything to do with God, they have the will to do this, but the ones that will not receive Jesus as Lord, God has to say, depart from me. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I want you going to heaven. So if you prayed that prayer for the very first time and you meant it and you asked Jesus to come into your life, what I want to do, just, and I'm not going to embarrass you or have you come to the front, but I want you with boldness. If you just gave your heart to Jesus, you prayed that prayer and you meant it, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up. Let me see it. And then just put it back down. And what you're doing is you're confessing before a man the Lord Jesus. And if you do that, Jesus says, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. In other words, don't be ashamed that Jesus is now your Lord. If that was you, and Jesus just became Lord, get that hand up at the count of three. Ready? With boldness. Don't be ashamed. One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Both of y'all. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Glory, glory, glory. All right, look at me, everybody. Now, just all together, let's say amen. Ready? Amen. All right. Because we got to end the prayer. I mean, that's what amen does, ends the prayer. So be it. Two people gave their heart to Jesus, and I'm very, very thankful. Now,